the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The London Knights are doing some retooling after winning the Memorial Cup last season. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press sports reporter Ryan Pyatt about their recent trades ahead of the OHL trade deadline last week and what we can expect from the team for the rest of the season. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Rachel.
Good. The Knights had a busy week last week. They made quite a few trades, which is a little unusual for them, right?
Yeah, it is. Even when they were like winning the OHL title and Memorial Cups, they didn't make this number of trades. So it was almost inevitable. You could see at the start of the year, they signed some guys, brought in some Americans that they really wanted to see if they could make a push again. And they gave the team a chance. And it was evident that the team couldn't score against good teams. Like they couldn't. We've seen them play good teams and they couldn't get enough goals. And, you know, it happened over and over again. And there was around a part in November where you're like, well, their only option here is to really do nothing or to get rid of guys, their top guys. And that doesn't happen very often in London. I want to say it was about 7 or 8 years ago was the last time they actually did this, where they sold off their big name players that everybody recognized. But, you know, I feel like the Hunters have always gone into a season, if we can't win the OHL title or the Memorial Cup, then this is what you got to do. But they went through such a run where they could win the OHL title and the Memorial Cup that we kind of forget that this is the normal way of junior hockey. that every once in a while, you got to take a step back and somebody else is loaded up. And that's what happened this year.
Yeah, they've been at the Memorial Cup the last 3 years and they won last year. Is that right? I mean,
they went to the finals 3 years in a row.
Okay, right.
And then the last 2 years, they went to the Memorial Cup final, and then they finally won with that group. And and they all left. All, you know, Barkey, Cowan, Dickinson, Bonk, they all left, and all the older players, Landon Sim, Austin Elliott, the goalie, they all left. So, you know, and the Knights came into. I went to training camp, right, and the start of the season, they're like, "We're going to win the Memorial Cup again." Like that's how the mindset you have to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the players. But, you know, they're well positioned. They made out very well in the trades. They've restocked their, I guess you'd say, cupboards for draft picks and all that. So starting next year, after all these teams spent all their draft picks, they'll be in, if they can ice a really good roster, they'll be in position to, you know, buy players like they did the last few years, Ryan Winterton and Cam Allen last year.
Yeah. Well, we lost some veteran talent this year. Sam O'Reilly and Jared Woolley. What does that mean for us? But we got a lot in return, I guess.
Yeah, it was first of all, the fact that they traded him to Kitchener was, the Rangers and Knights have a huge rivalry. You know, the Rangers, it always seemed like the last, while London was winning these championships, they would steamroll the Rangers on the way to getting there. And so obviously Kitchener and London, the rivalry has been restoked the last couple of years. And, you know, obviously to make that trade, you know, they said, I think Mark Hunter said, he told me one thing they wanted to do was keep the two together. They wanted to make sure he obviously could have sold them to different competing teams, right? Like send them to Windsor or Flint or wherever, Ottawa, Brantford. But he decided to keep them together. And obviously Kitchener's ecstatic about that because Sam O'Reilly's the best. He's been the best two-way center in junior hockey for a year and a half, maybe longer. And Jared Woolley's just really turned into ever since he got drafted by the LA Kings, he's turned into an unbelievably top defenseman at both ends of the ice, right? And then one of it, I think it was his first game in Kitchener, he scored a shorthanded goal, breakaway. You know, so he showed 6'5", tough and big, great hands, right? So they're really going to help them. I don't know if they're better than Windsor or Flint, but you know, very exciting Kitchener. And, you know, we're in starting, I think in February that the Knights and Rangers play three more times this year. So,
okay. So we'll see them.
You'll see them. Right. And they play at Canada Life Place a couple times at the odd. So yeah, it's that's always fun, right?
Like, but we don't trade with Kitchener very much.
No, and some of the trades have been disasters for Kitchener. Like, I remember going back, Steve Mason got traded there, and he got hurt in the playoffs, and that kind of ruined Kitchener's chance to win the Memorial Cup at home. So there's been a few over the years, like so that when stuff like that happens, it's just. And teams are rivals. They don't, you know, obviously if you're a rival and you don't want to see the other team win, you kind of say, hey, you got to, you'll have demands on the trade that you wouldn't maybe for another team in the Eastern Conference or something like that. And, you know, so the Knights ended up with a couple of players and, you know, Jacob Jus in the lineup right now. He played in the Connor McDavid game last night for Team West and did very well. I saw him got an assist and he's a big, strong guy. Kind of in that like he likes to hit and you know separate guys from pucks and that's something the Knights always want on the back end, big strong D, and he's a young guy. And then they got Kane Barch, who is Kitchener's first pick, but he didn't report. He's playing for the U.S. program, and the Knights are hoping they can pry him out of that next year. You know, kind of the way they did Max Jones about 10 years ago. They got Max to leave the program and come to London, and that was very effective. And, yeah, and they got 11 draft picks, which is I can't remember that many draft picks. I'd have to go back, but I don't remember that many draft picks going in or out. You know, John Tavares didn't command that many draft picks when the Knights traded for him from Oshawa.
What's the difference this year?
No, I think it was just this year there was four or five teams that wanted to win, Kitchener included, and they had the draft picks to spend. And I want to say in Kitchener's case, the background of Kitchener is they really wanted the Memorial Cup in 2027. They wanted to host it. So mm-hmm. they were gearing up. They're getting assembling draft picks so they can get guys. And then when they lost to Guelph, and Guelph got the Memorial Cup for 2027, then Kitchener was forced into what do we do with all these draft picks? Let's spend them now. Let's go for it now. And so they've made some big moves. You know, I really like Flint and Windsor's always been there. They made some good moves too, some smart moves. And it'll be interesting to see. But London's just like, you know, it'll be interesting to see where London ends up. Will they're in fifth place right now. Will they stay there? They got a tough schedule. I was looking at the schedule the other day, and they got a lot of heavyweights still on it. Can they beat the Sarnias? Can they beat Owen Sound, Erie? Can they do that and kind of assemble enough points to get to around fifth place? Because if they don't, they're going to end up playing Kitchener, Windsor, or Flint in the first round, and it's going to be tough for them.
Right. So what's the goal for the Knights this year with all of these trades?
Yeah, I think the goals have been accomplished. It's you know, get those draft picks back, you know, develop young kids. So obviously your Jackson Covers, your Brady Waslins, the guys that were brought in here to hopefully be the next stars, the next Barkey Cowans and those guys, they're going to play big minutes. They're going to have good summers, work out, be on the ice, hopefully get drafted in the NHL. And then they get developed and they come back better players. And that's kind of the goal. All the guys that will get ice time now, the power plays change. Obviously, Sam O'Reilly, Jared Woolley, those guys aren't around on the power play. Ben Wilmot. Those minutes are now eaten up by younger players. And we've seen this before. I mean, you go back to I remember when the team wasn't doing very well, they brought in the Rupert twins. And the Rupert twins right away made an impact and ran around the ice, scored, hit, and all that. And then by the time they're 18, 19, everybody saw what happened to them. They were standout OHL players. And that's what the Hunters are hoping for now. So that next year, they you know, have a front running team. But the goal this year, obviously, when you sell off, is to still make the playoffs, because the Knights have the longest streak in OHL history at making the playoffs. They want to keep that going, which they should. You know, they should get in the playoffs. But and then they want to do some damage in the playoffs. They have the goaltending to do it with Medvedev and Gatto to steal a couple games. But when it was going to be hard to win two rounds. It's going to be real hard to win one round this year.
So a bit of retooling this year is
at. They took a step back. Like I said, if you can't win the Memorial Cup, then you're just what are you trying to do? Some teams try to win around. Some teams try to make the playoffs. That's not the Hunters' mindset. If we don't think we can win it, if teams are better than us, we're going to take a step back and we're going to try to win next year. And they will. They're going to come out. They're going to probably sign some Americans, bring in some free agents, and try to do it again next year, you know?
Let's talk about the change allowing CHL players to play in the NCAA and vice versa, right? So how does that factor into all of these trades and what the Knights are kind of looking towards in the future?
Yeah, it's a game changer. So really, you know, London has some cachet because they've been a great franchise and sent a lot of guys to the NHL. And so players still want to come here and play. They got a brand new dressing room that's state of the art. They're going to unveil it here soon to the public so that everybody sees it. It's incredible. I've seen a lot of junior hockey dressing rooms. This is up there. It's so much space and so much high technology here. So that was what all the work was done and all the pain through the last summer. So that's a recruiting tool. Plus you have the Hunters. You want to play for Dale Hunter? He just coached the World Junior Canadian World Junior team, right? All those wins. They have the recruiting in place to do it. And that's more important than ever because now the players have more options. If your team is going to be terrible next year, and we're starting to see this, then players, your top players, instead of saying, trade me, they have the option of saying, I'm going to play at Michigan State or Penn State or Michigan and leave and you get nothing. And so what's going to happen now is that teams there's not going to be – I don't see a situation where you're going to build teams like – in 2021 where the Knights drafted Denver Barkey, Easton Cowan, and Oliver Bonk all in like the first 30 picks of the draft and then developed them, put them in junior B for the most part. Barkey stayed up but didn't play a lot. And then by the time they were 17, they were rolling. By 18, 19, they're winning championships. You might not see that ever again because the players can say, oh, well, I'm drafted now. I'm going to go play a year in college or I'm going to do this. You know, like they don't have to. If they don't get signed by their NHL team, they can go play in the NCAA against older players, 21, 22-year-olds. So they have that option and you get paid, right? Like you can make money now, $100,000, $200,000 playing in the NCAA, which is obviously an interesting carrot to chase.
Yeah.
And so – you can't build a general manager's job got tougher in junior hockey. You can't rely on guys being there 3 years down the road and say 19. They're going to swat everybody because they're better than everybody. You might lose them. So you have to go more on a year by year, maybe a year and a half thing of building a team. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really interesting. And I like that. I've always fought for, you know, like the players' rights. I played junior hockey and I was like, man, it'd be nice to go, you know, instead of waiting for a trade or, you know, just say, hey, I'll go over here and all
that. Have a little more autonomy.
Yeah, you have a little more autonomy. And, you know, if you play for a bad team and you want to get out of there, right? Mm-hmm. There's no rescuing it. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the teams that are traditionally not very good for long stretches of time because they may lose their players, right? They may lose their players with no compensation. And that's going to be tough. And it'll be interesting to see which way that goes. Yeah, I think London, Windsor, Kitchener, those kind of teams, Ottawa, Brantford, they'll be good on an ongoing basis. I throw Oshawa in there too. The other teams, I want to see what's going to happen because it's usually a boom and bust cycle. Can they start attracting players or are they going to just be younger guys, 16, 17-year-olds that then move on somewhere else or demand trades and that sort of thing? I think London's well-positioned though. They saw it coming and obviously they have the resources and the arena to make it work.
So does this require a lot more short-term planning because maybe they're only here for a year and a half, 2 years, or long-term planning like, okay, they are only here for a short time, so then we need to kind of change our long-term thinking?
Yeah, I think your Junior B becomes more important because it's a place to develop guys, and you have to develop them where you might need them right away, right? So now the Knights had enough guys around that they don't need to call up their Junior B guys after trading four or five guys out. But that's a good situation. There's a lot of teams that I saw that traded guys out and they had to call up Junior B guys to fill those spots. And you hope that they're ready. A lot of times they're not. Sometimes they are and they surprise you. But the thing about there's going to be both short-term and long-term planning necessary here. And the best teams are going to be able to clear those hurdles and the teams that struggle are just going to be in a perpetual cycle of being unable to replace the talent necessary.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So last year at this time, you and I were having the same trade deadline discussion, and we were anticipating the Knights going to the Memorial Cup, possibly winning. They did. Yeah. What do we think about this year's team after all of these trades? We got rid of some top guys. Are we looking at the same kind of team this year? Do we think we are going to go to the Memorial Cup, at least get there?
Yeah, I think they'll be lucky to win a playoff round. And I think that's kind of the way they, you know, you make these trades. When the players know, when you move out Sam O'Reilly's and Jared Woolley's, you're obviously, those are the guys you want when you're trying to win championships. So you move those guys out and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough. That's not to say that they can't build a team. I really like the way they played after the break. They lost to Brantford, who has way more firepower than them, but they played, I say they outplayed them 2 out of 3 periods. And I know that's kind of like loser talk where you're like, oh, we outplayed the team, but they still beat us. Like lots of teams said that about the Knights last year. Oh, we hung with them for a while. And then, And then Barkey got 2 goals or Cowan got 3 assists or something and he lost, right? So they're facing an uphill battle this year. Can they come gel together as a team, as a bunch of young guys and surprise? 100% that could happen. I want to see a little more. Still, like I have all year, I've been kind of frustrated with the team's ability to finish and get pucks to where they need to get to offensively. Defensively, I know they're going to play a great system. You know, they're not forechecking as hard. They found that their legs were getting, you know, they're leaning a lot on a lot of guys for big minutes and young guys that were still finding their way. And so they were having a 2-man forecheck, which is very exciting. Like for older fans, that's 80s forecheck where you send 2 guys in and try to separate the D from the puck and create offensive zone chances that way. Now they're going back to what they did with Barkey and Cowan, where they sit back in kind of a one man kind of goes if the chance is there and kind of clog up the neutral zone and try to strip pucks and get breakaways kind of thing. I think we'll see a hybrid where, you know, they go back and forth so that in the playoffs, Dale Hunter can kind of, you know, give the opposing coach something to think about when they play them. And, you know, I think they'll win enough to be interested. I find the team a little more exciting now than they were in, say, October, November, when they were struggling to score and they're trying to find an identity and all that. I think now you know what your identity is. Mark Hunter called them underdogs. We're going to be underdogs. London's not used to underdog status for a long time. You know, obviously the franchise, the first 25, 30 years, there's a lot of underdog status of trying to upend the heavyweights, but they're heavyweight. And this is kind of learning to be underdogs again. And it might serve the kids well moving forward, you know, to be in that status. And then when they do hit their stride and they use that talent that's been assembled and become like a team, you just want to see it happen earlier than now. You know, their power plays dropped off. You hope to see improvements there. Their PK, their penalty kill was near the top of the league. It's fallen off a bit. You want to see them keep it around, you know, where it was 80%, 85%. You want to make sure they have it up there by the end of the year. And you want to see some exciting – we've seen some good goaltending from Gatto and at times Medvedev. And those 2 guys, you don't want to put all the pressure on them, but they have to be good. And they can be good. They can be one of the best tandems in the league. And then that will be exciting for fans to watch, you know. When they make a mistake and they inevitably do, the defense or the forwards give the puck away, that you have a goaltender that can kind of – make some saves. And historically, the Knights, you look at Hauser, Parsons, moving up Brett Brochu, you've had those guys in net. And these guys certainly are capable of playing that kind of hockey.
Well, we know that as fans, we know we want it to be exciting all the time. But sometimes we just need a little development and we'll get there.
Right? Yeah, but so. The last game I saw Max Sokolovsky, the big Russian defenseman from Kazakhstan, he's 6'8" and he got in a fight with an Erie guy who's 6'7", and the fans are going nuts and they loved it. You know, they couldn't stop talking about the big guys and you know, so there's some, obviously I'm very excited that the young guys are starting to show their you know, the colorful side of them, you know, like their personalities and all that. Because when you interview them at the first start, they're kind of like, I've never been interviewed before, or I'm scared or whatever. But now they're starting to show their personalities, which is always the fun part. You think of Barky Bonk and Cowan, how Dickinson's different because he was comfortable from day one. It seemed like at 16 years old, but the other guys, they grow into themselves, become, you know, young men. And that, you know, I thought it was awesome that Cowan scored against in Philly, the overtime winner last week. And people were bringing up the TikTok dances that those guys were doing when they were with the Knights. And, you know, to see it on that's the best part of junior hockey is all the London Knights fans know these stories and know these players. And then they get to the big stage and they start showing what they could do there. And people are discovering them for the first time. And we sit back and we're like, they're just doing what they did here, right?
We knew them way back when, right? Okay. Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you for today. We're going to watch for a lot of your stories. I know you'll have a lot more on the Knights at lfpress.com. Thank you so much.
Anytime.